Welcome back to the Tan and J-Man Show. I'm co-host Josh Munt. Sitting next to me in a different state is Tanner Lee. How you doing out there, T-Dog?
Doing pretty good, J-Man. It's hot. It's hard to stay cool, but yes, besides that, doing good.
I was able to take the day off work today, so I did a lot of floating in a pool for hours on end, so it was very nice today.
What's the temperature of your pool today?
When I got in, it was about 82. It's right around 86, so I think by the end of the week it's going to be in the 90s, so that'll be great.
Last I checked, ours was at 87, so yeah. It's getting up there.
Yeah, it's going to heat up real quick.
Yeah, these temperatures and the heat index the next few days, nothing to joke about for sure. You got a different background.
Yeah, I literally pivoted where okay. I was. I'm at my wife's desk now. I was at my desk. So now I'm at my wife. She just literally bought one more bookshelf behind me. So always spending my money is what I say.
I like it. It looks like you look like kind of like Schefter.
Yeah, ESPN. A little bit.
He's always
yeah.
got a bookshelf behind him. Yeah.
Yeah. Megan said, like, why don't you just sit at my desk? It's a really cool background. So, like, all right.
It is pretty cool.
It looks good. Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I got some birdie or bogey for you tonight.
I've heard.
good friend of the show, Sean Shriver, tested my dad and I with this question. And damn. I'm not going to lie, it's tough. But you're a big baseball guy, so you might have a better chance than you might fare better than my dad and I did.
I was talking to Sean yesterday, and he said, I expect at least three of the four. So that's a lot of pressure.
Well, you already know if there's four individuals involved then, but I'll give you a hint if you want one after I give you the question. But
right.
The question is, since the MLB, since the MLB established the amateur draft in 1965, there have been four players who were drafted as the number one overall pick in the draft. Who have been inducted into Cooperstown.
Oh, man.
Can you name those four?
No. No. That's really...
Well, here's your hint. Three of them... Well, I stand corrected. Actually, all four of them played in our lifetime.
In our lifetime, okay.
Yeah.
I have one off the bat. I have no idea. This is not going to be very fun. Because I do consider myself a very knowledgeable baseball historian of sorts.
Three for a par.
All right.
Four for a birdie.
Four for all. Four for the bird. So, yep. Birdie or bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Place and Arlington Public House. Small town vibes, big time flavor. Giretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
And over the weekend, the Arlington Public House's weekend feature was the BLT burger. I know that's right up your alley.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Love myself some BLTs.
And they also
slap a burger on it. It's even better.
I like the slogan they use. Great food, great golf, great company. We'll see you this weekend.
Nice.
Because they got golf simulators there at Arlington Public House. They got two of them. And even if you're not a golfer, there's other activities you can do on there. They got baseball. They got some football target games. They got a dodgeball game, I think it is.
Ooh, that's cool.
So there's a lot of fun things you can do and your kids can do. So family fun. Go check the simulators out at Arlington Public House. And they had last week, they also had a game night. I believe it was last Thursday. Mixtape bingo.
Oh, love myself some bingo.
Think you know your music? Hear the songs, mark your card, sing along, and win awesome prizes. Oh. It's bingo with musical twist.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So last time you played bingo?
Probably like 2 years ago.
Yeah. My wife and I, one Valentine's Day, we went to a bar and they were having bingo. We're like, oh, let's do it. I think we were the only two people in the bar that didn't get a bingo, though.
Yep, I didn't get a bingo. We went with one of my wife's friends and her family who like to go play bingo quite often. Mm-hmm. And we went, like I said, it was like 2 years ago on like a, I think it was a Friday night, maybe a Saturday night. And we went to a bingo hall here in Fort Wayne, and a bunch of those older folks take their bingo pretty darn seriously.
It always reminds me of that Impractical Jokers stunt they did when Sal kept saying bingo, and those old people were not happy.
I love that show.
Yeah,
I love that show. It was better back in the day when it was all four of them, but still, it's still
good. Well, yeah, when they weren't getting recognized, it's got to be hard for them.
Right. Well, they're lucky. New York City's such a big place. Mm-hmm. That they still can find people that don't recognize them. But yeah, my wife and I did not get bingo that night. About everybody else did, I think, at our table. But, yeah, got to brush up all my bingo skills for the future. But like we were talking before we got on air, it's kind of an interesting time in sports. You got the World Cup going on, but neither of us are big soccer guys at all. I can't. I've watched a couple minutes of a few games. Like I've been at a restaurant when games have been on, but I have not like, oh, I'm getting on the world, whatever channel the World Cup's on to watch. I have not done that. Got baseball going on, which I mean, we are practically in July now.
Yeah. Just reached the halfway mark, I think yesterday or over the weekend at least. So,
so we can start probably weeding out pretenders and contenders a little bit.
Yeah.
NFL, really nothing going on for once.
If something is going on, it's bad. So, yes.
Yes. And then NBA, there's been a lot of trade movement. Sure. And the NBA draft, of course, last week. So, but let's make sure we get some time in for some baseball talk. I feel like I haven't let you talk a bunch of baseball lately. So,
you know, I've been happy with that, though, over the past couple of weeks. But Cubs have kind of turned it around a little bit. They have won, I think it's 13 of their last 17 or 13 of their last 16, something like that. So they've stayed afloat, which is exactly what they've needed to do with a rash of injuries. You look at their pitching staff, top to bottom. they're missing three starters that are out for a long time, it looks like. Now, obviously, Cade Horton had his injury, his second start of the year, where he's had Tommy John surgery, and we probably won't see him until mid-year next year. Edward Cabrera has been injured majority of the season, and then he had a moderate hamstring strain the other night against the Mets, where he had to he stretched like a first baseman. Mm-hmm. To get a guy out at first, and he immediately, I think they had to even bring the card out.
You called him a loser.
I did. I called him a loser before he got hurt. They got up to a 5-0 lead. No, I don't feel bad. 5-0 lead, and then all of a sudden it's 5-2, and the Mets have bases loaded. Like, come on, man, just one shutdown inning, and he was just incapable. But he's been a bust so far. Matt Boyd's dealt with injuries all year. I think he's only made 5 starts. Maybe he is back now. But then Ben Brown, who had turned into their, you know, go-to number one starter, he got a neck injury this week. And he'll be out at least a month, and then they're going to reevaluate. He had a neck injury 2 years ago in June, I think, late June, around the same time, and he did not pitch the rest of the season. So that is that's not a very good sign, because – they just don't have starting pitching at all. And their bullpen's hurt as well. I mean, their closer, Daniel Palencia, is on the injured list. One of their more reliable relievers, Hobie Milner, in the middle of the night in Milwaukee, Ubered himself to the ER because he was having severe stomach pain. And it turned out he needed an emergency appendectomy. So he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. They've just had top to bottom. Jacob Webb spent some time on the injured list. Phil Maton's been terrible, but he's now on the injured list again. Ethan Roberts, who again, he's been bad as well, but he's on the injured list now. Justin Steele had a setback. He has started to throw a little bit, and hopefully he'll be back in August to at least help the bullpen out a little bit. It doesn't sound like he's going to get many starts, if any, this year. So they just got to stay afloat until the All-Star break, really. And then you can start, feeling like you're making some trades. Jed's made a few minor moves, traded a minor league first baseman for, Mets starter, David Peterson, who, with the Mets this year had an ERA over 6. But 2 years ago, he was an All-Star. He has one of the higher ground ball rates, in the league, and the Cubs have the best defense in all of baseball, according to virtually every single defensive metric, where the Mets were in the bottom 5. So hopefully, Him coming to a good defense will help out his game. Bryce Wilson, they picked him up off of I think waivers. He was DFA'd by the Phillies. He goes in, makes his first appearance yesterday, throws 4 2/3 scoreless innings against the Brewers. So hopefully they can strike gold with some of those guys. But the offense has really started to turn around the past couple weeks, and they've kind of gone back to what they had been doing, you know, getting on base a ton, scoring runs. It started with Pete Crow Armstrong, who I would be absolutely shocked if he was not the National League Player of the Month in the month of June. He was hitting at one time. He slowed down a little bit the past couple games, but he had like a 26-game on-base streak. He was hitting well over 400, slugging like 700 in the month of June. So it'd be hard-pressed to find somebody in the National League that's been better than him. And he really carried them for a while, but now they've all kind of started to hit, except really Alex Bregman. And he had a bad deal yesterday where he hit a ground ball to shortstop, kind of lollygag. Shortstop bobbled it, and then he had to turn on the jets, and he was thrown out by a step. He would have been safe if he would have just been hustling straight out of the box. So that's not going to endear him too much to Cubs fans, especially when he's not hitting at all. Really, he's been a colossal bust as an offensive player. He's played a very good third base so far, but you're not paying 100 plus million for a defensive first third baseman. So. But yeah, they've started to play some good baseball here lately, and now they're back home tonight. Big week against two teams that are vying for a wild card spot as well as the Cubs, which the Cubs would have the second wild card spot now, and they're a game and a half up, I think, on both. Maybe two games up on the Padres, a game and a half up on St. Louis for that second spot, and they play them both this week. They host them. So wind is howling out at Wrigley, and I expect it to do that all week long with it being as hot as it is, and which is not a good recipe for success for Shota Imanaga, who has one of the highest fly ball rates in the league. So hopefully Cubs will be able to outslug the Padres tonight and get another W.
Yeah, Cubs are 1.5 games up on the Cardinals for the number two wild card spot and 2 games up on the Padres. Okay.
That's what I was thinking.
Padres and Marlins are a half game back of the Cardinals.
Yeah. Marlins have been a surprise. They're a young team. They're a bunch of no names really that have really played very, very good baseball. And it's kind of nice to see a little bit of new blood there, which again, they're still, you know, in third place. But I think another shocking part is the Washington Nationals are also over 500 yep. this late into the season, where they're a game over. So they're hanging in there as well.
Yeah. So those two teams have been two surprises in the National League. Who's been a big disappointment in your eyes in the National League?
National League disappointment. Reds? I don't think anyone would call the Reds a major disappointment. Maybe with the way the Reds started. Remember, they had the best record in baseball the first, like, 3 or 4 weeks. They were awesome. Now they're under 500. Arizona's been a slight disappointment. They're a game under 500.
Mets
are probably the biggest disappointment, but and they did just fire their manager. Cubs swept them in a 4-game series. Actually swept the season series from 7-0. Which is the first time that happened. Last time it happened, the Cubs, I think it was 2015. Cubs went obviously to the NLCS that year, but Mets have been a major disappointment and fired their manager on Friday. I think they did. So,
In the same question in the American League, who's been a surprise, which I think I know who you're going to pick, or maybe one of two teams. And who's
yeah.
been a
disappointment? Whoops. As I knock my computer off of my stand here. I think the American League as a whole has been a disappointment.
It's been pretty bad.
There's only 4 teams over 500 in the American League.
That's crazy. It's practically July.
It's July pretty much. I mean, halfway through the season. I would say White Sox have been obviously a very big surprise. It's kind of funny. Do you know that meme where it's like two guys on a, it's like a cartoon. It's like two guys on a bus. One guy's staring out one window and he's real sad. The other guy's staring out the other window and he's really happy.
Yeah.
That's kind of his with Cubs and White Sox fans. White Sox fans are the ones staring out the window and they're super happy. Cubs are staring out the other end and they're sad, even though the Cubs have a better record than the White Sox. I think they'd be, if the Cubs were in the National League Central, they'd be winning that division by 2 games right now. So that's kind of how expectations can skew your thinking a little bit, for sure. But surprise, disappointment, Toronto Blue Jays got to be in there. I mean, they were a foot away from winning the World Series last year. And they are literally. currently 6 games under 500 right now.
How about Detroit?
I was just about to say man. Detroit Tigers. It started really last second half. Remember, they blew a 11 game lead September.
And that's Cleveland
ended up winning the division. Detroit did end up going to the American League. Or no, did they? No, they lost to the Mariners. That's right, in the ALDS. But they end up making the playoffs. But yeah, they've been major disappointment. They've had, obviously, Skubal's been injured, but he's back now. And I would, they've got to start making some decisions. Maybe they give him a week or two to kind of get hot and see what happens. And then they got to move into sell mode if they can't rattle off 8 or 9 in a row. And that would start with Tarik Skubal. Elsewhere in the American League West is just a bad division. Texas is winning it currently at 42-42. I would say Seattle is a disappointment. They're one game under 500. They were very close to making a World Series last year, losing to Toronto in the ALCS, and they just don't hit. Cal Raleigh, after hitting, you know, 60 homers last year, whatever he did, he is currently hitting. I'm going to pull it up real quick. He is currently.
I haven't heard like anything about him this year.
He's hitting 165 with 8 homers so far this year. He's only played 53 games, so he must have spent some time on the injury list, or they've just been giving him more days. Now, he's a catcher that played almost every single game last year because he was absurd last year after he hit. He hit, 247 with 60 homers last year, and he played 159 games, had 705 plate appearances. I'm sure he DH'd a bunch too, but he's been a major disappointment, and it is. Cost the team a lot of games this year by being so bad. They have been super, super disappointing so far.
How about the Rays? What's your opinion of the Rays?
They've been definitely a surprise good. 15 games over 500. They've kind of done it the way they've done it in the past.
It's obviously, ho-hum.
Yeah, one of the lower payrolls in baseball, if not the lowest, and they pitch well, they play defense, they're getting timely hitting. I still ultimately think the Yankees run away. Maybe not run away with the division, but they win fairly easily. But they've been in kind of a bad stretch too. I mean, they just got swept in a 4-game series to a terrible Boston Red Sox team over the weekend, where the bench is cleared 1 game, which that's pretty typical of Red Sox Yankees. Especially when Wilson Contreras is involved now, because he's always bench clearing it up. But National League, obviously, Dodgers are the cream of the crop in baseball. They're the cream of the crop. 54-30, ho hum. It's almost like I don't even know, like regular season NBA anymore for them. It means nothing. And then playoffs happen, and it just kind of turns on, which kind of happened last year for them. They kind of just slogged through the regular season. We're still very, very good, but they didn't get a bye in the first round of the playoffs, and they won the World Series anyway. And I fully anticipate them winning another World Series and three-peating this year and becoming one of the better dynasties. Yeah, if
they three-peat, are they going to get the hatred that the Yankees of the late 90s and early 2000s were getting, or do you think times have just changed where
I think it's pretty close to being there already. Okay. A lot of fans hate them. But the LA West Coast media is different than the East Coast media.
Very much so.
Obviously, like every single like sports, not now, but back then, every single sports network was based in New York, essentially. ESPN, Connecticut. MLB Network wasn't around then, but like your majority of the media was based in New York, and I think they just shoved it down our throats a little bit back then, which they should. I mean, the Yankees were obviously very, very good, dynasty sort of deal, but for sure, I think I've reached that point. Honestly, I think a lot of fans have become numb to it now,
too,
because they've been so good that it's whatever at this point.
Yeah, it's so hard to get a dynasty in baseball compared to all those other sports. I mean, it's hard to do it in any sport. Don't get me wrong, but baseball's probably the hardest, and it looks like one's forming right.
I mean, last year was the first year we'd had back-to-back World Series titles for a team since the Yankees when they won 3 in a row. So it's very difficult. We've had a lot of we've had parity in the sense that a different team won the World Series. But there has been a lack of parity of who's been in the playoffs. Just they've been able to rotate around winning World Series.
Well, if the playoff standings stay like they are currently, which, I mean, we got a long ways to go, There'll be some new blood in the playoffs this year.
Yeah. Less so in the National League with the Dodgers, Braves, Brewers, Cubs, Phillies. If Padres get in, I think that's the exact same.
Yeah.
No, Reds made it last year. In the National or in the American League, definitely Rays haven't been in a few years. White Sox haven't been in a few years as well. Cleveland's been in pretty consistently. Texas won a World Series a couple years ago, but they haven't been in since. So, we need new blood, and hopefully, the one thing that scares me is obviously the lockout, the impending lockout. Obviously, there's no guarantee that there is a lockout in the off season, but with each new proposal from both sides, it seems like they're further and further apart than they were to start. So I know the owners want to keep as much money in their pockets as possible. The players want to keep as much money in their pockets as possible as well. So it's they're at each other's throats, and I think MLB wants a lot of what the NBA does, where you have max contracts, max number of years. The latest proposal that Major League Baseball put together, it was a maximum of 5 years and a maximum of $202 million in free agency, and then a max of 6 years if you are re-signing a player. So I don't think we'll ever see, hopefully, which that's something that needs to change anyway. We should no longer see 10, 12-year deals worth $500, $600 million. And then the Dodgers just defer it all and worry about it 20 years from now. That's
messed up.
That's not fair. That's something they do need to get rid of. And hopefully they can come closer together. The thing that's making me mad about Major League Baseball is they are very, very clearly trying to get rid of minor league baseball. Not as a whole, but they're – trying to get rid of a lot of teams, it seems like, because they are wanting to.
So what? Yeah, I was gonna say, I haven't heard about this. What are they?
So they're in their newest proposal, they've wanted to shrink the draft, which the draft back in 2000, I would say even like 2009, was a 50 round draft, and then it went to 40 rounds, and now it's at 20 rounds. So they each new collective bargaining, it shrunk. Now they're proposing a 12 round draft, where high schoolers are no longer eligible for the draft. They have to go to college for at least 2 years to go.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, high schoolers have always been able to go into the draft. I mean, you'd never see a Bryce Harper type again. Obviously Harper left high school early to go to college, to a junior college. But I mean, you look at a lot of the stars around the league, a lot of them came from high school, straight from high school. So that's almost a non-starter, and I think they want to shrink the minor leagues again, which they've already done. I mean, there used to be four full season teams. You had like two short season teams, and now you're just at pretty much four full season, and then you have one like Arizona complex league, essentially. That's just a bunch of really young guys playing, and then you have some Dominican leagues too. But yeah, Major League Baseball is all about lining those owners' pockets even further.
All the leagues are.
Yeah,
but. That'll be interesting to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll start, I think it ends in December. So I would imagine we're going to have a lockout, and hopefully it doesn't, cost them any games. It cost them some games back, the previous year. Remember they had to start, I think mid April is when they started, and it, now, I mean, how far apart they are. It's hopefully they don't lose a half season even, obviously, the players will want to get paid. The owners will want to get paid. So it seems like that's a powerful motivator to get a deal done so they don't lose money. But we will see what happens.
Yep. Any other thing? Anything else baseball related that you want
to As I said, the wind's blowing out at Wrigley tonight. So this will be the J-Man's book and prediction of the week. I think the winner of this game will score 10 or more runs tonight with a howling out. Shota Imanaga gives up home runs like it's his job, and with him he'll give up a lazy fly ball that would be caught middle of the outfield on normal days, and that thing will sail out tonight. So it should be a fun baseball watch. It's not as fun for me to watch because my team's involved in it, but for the most part Cubs are usually very, very good when the wind's blowing out, and have been for years. So we'll see what happens tonight.
I think a majority of fans, especially the casual fans, maybe not some of the diehards, they'd rather watch an offensive game than a pitcher's duel.
Yeah, and I fully anticipate that happening tonight. J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers, Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561. Book it!
I like it. That's a good book it. I like it. Yeah, I got nothing else baseball related, so we'll just
All-Star breaks in 2 weeks, I think, and then we'll start seeing some trades happening. Trade deadline, they pushed it back to August 2nd. It should always be July 31st. That's what it was growing up. That's what it should always be, but it's August 2nd now.
What are traditions in sports anymore?
None. Yeah, it's a good point. There is none.
See where the Home Run Derby's on Netflix this year?
Maybe.
I thought I saw that, so they don't have time limit now on it.
Yes, it's a different Home Run Derby. They get, I think it's 20 swings they get. And then I think it's – I'm going to go look up the rules real quick so I don't – but I hated the – at first the new Home Run Derby rules were awesome back in 2015. You had the time limit. Guys are just swinging. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. We should see just booming homers and guys not getting tired. The new rules feature 8 players competing through three rounds, a swing limit of up to 20 swings per round, and an exciting swing until you miss mechanic for batters who homer on their final swing. So you get 20 swings. If you homer on your final swing, you keep swinging until you don't hit a homer. So I like it.
Is it on Netflix? Am I right?
I should do that too. Home Run Derby on Netflix. This is Google AI. It is on Home Run Derby. Will stream live on Netflix. Yeah.
All right. I was like, watch. Now I'm real confident it's not going to be.
The broadcast includes Barry Bonds, which will be interesting. CC Sabathia, Hunter Pence, and Anthony Rizzo.
Interesting crew there.
Yeah, it is. Bonds especially. Those other guys have been part of the media for a little bit now.
Yeah. But, yeah, I haven't seen Bonds on television for quite a while.
No, he was the Marlins hitting coach for a while, or for maybe a year. And I don't know. He's an interesting guy.
Seems like he and McGuire pick up jobs for like a year at a time and then don't really keep it going. Yeah.
McGuire was on the Cardinals staff for a while. McGuire's son plays in the Cubs system. He's a pitcher.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's actually having a pretty good year. He was with, I think he's currently with South Bend, actually.
Did I see, speaking of South Bend Cubs played up here in Fort Wayne not too long ago. It was like a week or two ago. Did I see where the Cubs opening day starter played?
Matt Boyd. He was on the injured list and he made a rehab start. Yeah, he did make it. I didn't even realize I was in South Bend, but yeah, he was just down there.
Yeah, I was in Fort Wayne because
that's cool.
But I wanted to make sure I read that right because they hyped it up on one of the news stations social media here. Yeah. But they don't need to when the Cubs come to town.
Yeah.
That's even better attendance than
everyone's normal. Everyone around there is probably a Cubs, Tigers, or Guardians fan, I would imagine. Maybe Reds
or White Sox.
I always forget about them. I probably should stop forgetting about them.
Probably.
Probably. Yeah.
What's the fun in that, though, right?
No, yeah, there's no fun in remembering them, that's for sure.
But NBA draft came and went last week. I hate the 2-day format.
It's horrible.
I got to be honest, I watched very little. First round, I think I turned it on. Pick 18, I think it was 18. Somebody, I don't even remember what team was, took a dude from Stanford.
Oh, yeah.
And then I kind of followed on my phone. And then night two, I was more interested because of Purdue possibly having one, if not two, which they did end up having two. Guys drafted in second round, but I had slow pitch softball that night. So by the time I got done, Braden Smith had already been drafted by the Bulls and then traded to the Pacers at the 38th pick. And then I stopped watching at pick 56, turned the channel, Trey Kaufman Wren goes 59th to the Minnesota Timberwolves. So
I watched picks 1 through 5 and then I was
out. That's all you needed, right?
That's all I needed. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. So how do you like the fit there?
I like it. Yeah. Keaton Wagler to the LA Clippers. They love him. Obviously, you're not going to take a guy fit if you didn't love him. Yeah. I've seen some Clippers fans who have watched zero college basketball.
Clippers have fans?
That's another thing. saying he's not a good athlete, yada yada yada. I think he's gonna be a bust. Well, watch him play first there. Guys,
give him a chance.
Yeah, in what Lawrence Frank said, which again, I didn't know Lawrence Frank was their top executive. Remember him when he was New Jersey.
Former Indiana Hoosier.
Really? I didn't realize that either.
I believe he was a manager on one of Bob Knight's teams.
Was he over there around the same time Dusty May was, or is he a little older? He might be a little older.
I think he's a little older.
But he said his processing of the game, his decision making, they mentioned a lot of his deceleration, which you see it a lot. When he's getting to the lane, he's not going to jump over guys, but he can decelerate really fast, which is it's an athletic trait. So I'm
excited. Not a good thing in golf. Just to let you know.
No. Yeah. I have heard that. But he obviously he needs to gain some weight. He already gained some strength, I should say, because he's rail thin right now. But I'm excited to watch his career. You know, just 6 years ago, Illinois had zero guys in the NBA, and now they have five or six guys. Four of them taken in the first round.
Did they have anybody get picked up as an undrafted free agent?
Kylan Boswell signed with Charlotte. I think it was a two-way deal too. So he'll be he's the guy that can go up and down. And then Ben Hummerkaus signed with the Brooklyn Nets.
Was his a two-way deal?
No, it was just a normal, like, non-guaranteed sort of play summer league
and see what happens.
But again, I think he has a shot because Brooklyn has a terrible team. And he's 6'9", can shoot it, and turned into one of Illinois' better defenders. So we'll see if he can stick around. I wasn't surprised to see him get a invite to camp or anything like that. So we'll see.
Six Big Ten guys taken in the first round.
Yeah.
Wasn't really surprised by that.
No. And I think they all went around where a lot of people thought they would, too. I was slightly surprised Merez Johnson went ahead of the other two guys with Michigan. But he went to his former head coach, so obviously he loved him. And it'll be – I just looking last year and 2 years ago, I can't believe Merez Johnson ended up being a top 10 pick. So we'll see how his career goes. He's a really good basketball player, obviously.
Like I said, Brayden Smith landed with the Pacers after getting traded, picked by the Bulls, traded the Pacers. Perfect spot for him, I think. Two-way contract, which is what he needed. But I could see him being on the roster, Pacers, maybe getting some spot minutes here and there. Gets to learn from TJ McConnell, which a lot of people compare him to. But like my dad said yesterday, the only reason they get compared to each other is they're both white and under 6 feet.
Yeah.
Or 6 foot and under. Right in the first player under 6 feet to be drafted since 2013.
Wow. Who was that, you know?
I heard it on a podcast and I don't remember who it was. Yeah.
13.
It was Shane Larkin.
Oh, okay. He was a first rounder too.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. But yeah, and of course, Pacers. I mean, that's where he grew up, Westfield. He's a Pacers fan, so he gets to stay at home. And they've sold out his jerseys already, day one, which was no surprise there. And then Trey Kaufman Rend, I don't know if he'll make the team, but hopefully he at least makes their G League squad. But good for him to just get drafted.
Absolutely.
The guy improved every year at Purdue. Just worked hard. Seems like a good guy. And, you know, both those guys could have went other places, but they stayed all 4 years at Purdue and both got drafted. I think that's a big compliment to what Purdue does there. So
yeah, we can always say we ate Raising Cane's with an NBA.
That's right. I forgot about that, man.
Yeah, Tanner's bachelor party, we're eating Raising Cane's, and TKR comes walking in with some high school buddies. And
because he was like 19 at the time.
Yeah, I was fresh off the FDU loss, so he was coming in but that year anyway.
He would have been 2 years as a student, but only 1 year as a basketball player.
Yeah. I don't think anyone thought he'd turn into the type of player he did end up turning into.
I mean, he was very high recruit coming out of high school, and then redshirts right away, which was a great decision looking back on it. But yeah, he was just one that got better and better. I mean, first 2 years he didn't really. I mean, he was starting, but Zach Edey was the guy down low,
right.
And then he got a shot the last 2 years and took advantage of it. They also had Oster Clough get picked up by the Houston Rockets, which if he doesn't make the team, he's got a shot to play pro ball or guaranteed pretty much play pro ball back home in Australia.
Yeah.
And then Fletcher Lawyer got picked up by the Clippers, which his dad's the head of scouting there. Oh, so that was no surprise. I think he'll get a shot summer league, but he
Yeah.
So he can go play.
I mean,
and make a fine living for
himself. Dakota Mathias has hung around the G League.
Yes. He had a good year from Noblesville Boom last year.
Yeah. If he can hang around the G League, I think Fletcher's got a real good shot.
Dakota just signed somewhere in Europe. I forget where. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, nope. It's funny, you know, Big Ten basketball players who can hop around in the NBA and G League and then make a good career, good living over in Europe too.
Definitely.
So we've seen quite a few of them. But speaking of the NBA, a lot of trade movement.
Yeah.
The last 2 weeks, including one today. Ja Morant.
Yeah. It was a definite change of scenery thing for both teams. Both teams needed to part. Because, I mean, Ja's gotten some legal troubles, and it just seems – he seems very immature and has not grown up and nor has learned from his mistakes that have gotten him suspended. And it was definitely time for a split there, and hopefully he has a better deal out there in Portland away from those influences down there. Is that where
he got traded? Yep, got traded for Jeremy Grant and Chris Murray.
Okay. One former Big Ten guy.
And then, you know, you think about the Grizzlies. Just a few years ago, they had like four cornerstone pieces.
Yeah.
And they've traded now Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr.
Where'd Jackson go?
Let's see. He is on the Utah Jazz.
Okay. Bane's ended up having a very good career. He's an Indiana kid, right? He's an Indiana guy.
Yeah, he's one that Purdue fans gave Matt Painter a lot of flack for because Painter never offered him. And then he went to TCU and
game
really good. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but, do you get Carson Edwards without him or with him, though? Because wasn't that around the same time?
For some reason,
I was thinking it was either Carson Edwards or Desmond Bane, one of the two. Could only have one.
Carson was – there were three guards, him, Xavier Simpson, and the kid who went to Illinois.
Oh, Lucas.
Yes, and it was kind of like whoever chooses first, and
of course the worst one went is the one John Gross landed. But
you know what's funny when you talk about Carson Edwards, if NIL and the portal was a thing, he would have been one and done at Purdue. He was so homesick,
really,
so homesick his freshman
Interesting.
Year.
Interesting. Yep. What ended up at Texas, huh? Isn't that where he's from? Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe Houston or Texas. I don't know. But he would have been back home in the state of Texas somewhere. Hmm. Yeah, I read that like a year or two ago. I'm like, that's interesting. That kind of was on the down low, but the beat writer for Purdue said, he was very homesick his freshman year.
I bet.
So, Ja Morant going to Portland. The Grizzlies just drafted Boozer in the draft, so maybe they'll build around him and him and Zach Edey be a low post presence team, I guess.
Yeah.
But the headline of our podcast is Giannis, the Greek Freak, heading from Milwaukee to Miami.
Yeah, he my Heat.
Your
my
Heat.
He is going to be surrounded by a probably not very good team there in Miami. He was not surrounded by a very good team in Milwaukee either. I know he loved the city of Milwaukee. In fact, he even had a quote where somebody said,
I mean, he's a legend there.
And he won a championship. A source said that he didn't want to leave Milwaukee, but he wanted to leave the Bucks. It was probably one of those time for a split as well, because they were very bad this year. I've kind of disappointed the past couple of years, and now he's down in Miami where he has a chance again to win a NBA title. But and obviously he'll be very good in Miami with Bam and Andrew Wiggins is down there as well.
He just resigned a deal. Wiggins did today. 3-year deal.
And so they should be good. He did give up a lot of things. They gave up Tyler Hero, who's had a very good career in Miami. But he's a Wisconsin guy. Kasperis Jakachonis, he had a very solid rookie year out of Illinois. And he was part of that deal. And I'm excited to see him get some more run with a bad team to see what he can do. Kind of like Will Riley did for Washington last year. So it was probably time to start a rebuild there in Milwaukee, and Giannis is at a place. Miami's awesome. I've been there a bunch of times, he'll have a chance to win a title down there.
And then also Lonzo Ball going from Charlotte to Minnesota.
Not Lonzo. What's the other one's name? Lonzo LiAngelo. LaMelo.
Mello. I get. Yep. I
named
that.
His
yep. Yep.
Named his kid Lawan. There's a name for you, T-Dog. Lawan.
I'll pass. Thank you, though.
Yeah.
The Timberwolves, interesting team going into next year.
Yeah, LaMelo can't stay healthy. Doesn't seem like a kind of guy that's a winner, really. He seems like a guy that has a lot of empty stats. He'll do some awesome, flashy plays, but I don't think he does what it takes to win. And you pair him with a guy like Anthony Edwards that's ultra-competitive, almost Jordan or Kobe-like, and I don't know how they fit together. They also signed Ayo Dosunmu to a $100 million deal. But they traded away Naz Reid, who was a fan favorite there. They traded him as part of the deal for LaMelo. Traded away Julius Randle to Brooklyn. I don't really see a vision there in Minnesota. After a couple years where they've gone fairly deep into the playoffs, last year they get to a Western Conference final. No, that was a
2 years ago they did
semifinal. Yeah, this year. Yeah, probably, again, another one of those change of scenery, needed a split. Charlotte, I think, has had a very good offseason getting rid of some of these guys. Getting rid of Miles Bridges was key because he's a scumbag anyway. And then there was a report today out in Golden State. They declined Draymond Green's $27 million option. I'm sure he will restructure a deal and he'll go back, as they are trying to clear cap space for LeBron James and Anthony Davis to go for a big four, is what they say, where Anthony Davis will be the youngest of those guys, and he turns 34 this year, if he's not already 34. And you have a 40-year-old LeBron, a near 40-year-old Steph Curry, and a near 40-year-old Draymond Green.
Team would have been awesome a decade ago.
Yeah, a decade ago, this team probably goes better than 73-9, like Golden State did with those guys. It's just, they're just holding on for one last shot at it, which I completely understand. Get it. Those guys are probably a couple years, maybe at most, from retiring. LeBron, this might be LeBron's last go around this year. I would still ultimately think LeBron ends up in Cleveland. That's my guess.
I think he's back with the Lakers.
You think so?
Yeah.
Sounds like Lakers are wanting to kind of move on a little bit.
Which I get. It's crazy to think his tenure with the Lakers is the longest of his career with a team.
That is crazy. It doesn't seem like he's been there that long. He won one title, but it's kind of, you have an asterisk next to it in the bubble. So, but hey, title's a title, I guess.
The Golden State Warriors did make a move today. They agreed to a 2-year, $40 million contract extension with Kristaps Porzingis.
I didn't even know he was out there.
I didn't either. So I don't know if that affects things or not. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
Looking at some other things, this is just reporting by Shams, who is the best when it comes to NBA reporting. There was rumors that the Blazers could still go after Boston Jalen Brown while getting Ja. He threw cold water on that, said, nah, this is their big move. That's not happening. Kevin Huerter, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
He intends to sign a 3-year, $27 million deal to return to the Pistons.
Oh, okay. Didn't even realize he was
averaged 8.6 points in 20 and a half minutes per game.
Okay. Huerter, huh? I do think the Celtics ultimately trade Jaylen Brown this offseason. Great player, and they'll probably get a lot for him. But I don't know their reasoning behind it. They just won a title a couple years ago. But Tatum's back and looks to be healthy, and maybe they just kind of want to move on.
It looks like the Thunder are picking up Lou Dort's contract option. So the dirty player stays.
I was going to say he's one of the dirtiest.
Yes, he is. He's been there all 7 seasons of his career. He and SGA together. I mean, most of these moves aren't too big. The Clippers declined Bradley Beal's player option for next season.
His career hasn't turned out as well as he's probably wanted it.
Thomas Bryant intends to sign a 1-year deal to return to Cleveland.
Oh.
He averaged 12.2 minutes and 6.2 points over 60 games.
I hated him at Indiana.
He liked to clap.
Yes, he did.
Let's see. Some more rumors about LeBron and Golden State.
I just can't see him in Golden State for some reason. I know him and Curry are pretty good friends, but
Marcus Smart declined a $5.4 million option with the Lakers. I forgot he was a former defensive player of the year.
Who was it? Oh, Marcus Smart. Completely forgot about him. Wow.
Yeah. Wiggins got 3-year, $64 million contract extension.
Okay.
With the Heat. This is just Indiana day today. Trayce Jackson-Davis, the Raptors opted into a team option. It's $2.4 million team option.
Okay.
And then former number one pick DeAndre Ayton opted into his $8.1 million player option to return to the Lakers.
He's kind of one of those guys that I don't know about him.
Yeah. Zach Levine, I never know how to pronounce his last name correct. He opted into his $49 million player option to return to the Kings.
Yeah, I'd be opting into a $49 million deal as well.
No kidding.
Especially with a player like Levine. Levine's a lot like, I'm going to compare him to LaMelo, a lot of empty stats. He's viewed as kind of a superstar because he scores 28 points a game. He's never won crap. He's maybe the third best player on a solid team, but he's not the guy that's ever going to lead you anywhere.
All a player and team options had to be exercised by 5 p.m. Eastern time today. Okay. So James Harden declined his working on a deal with the Cavs. Hmm. He declined his $42.3 million player option. Working on a new multi-year deal.
Multi-year deal. He's getting old, too. He's got to be 37, 38 at least.
Yeah, yeah. You can still put the ball in the bucket, though.
You can. Does nothing else. Nothing else.
It's just amazing how many former Big Ten guys are player team option here. Like Gary Harris is a player option with the Bucks. Did he know he's in the Bucks?
Oh, I didn't know he was with the league anymore.
Yeah. $3.8 million. Let's see. I did see, since you're a Clipper fan now, Brooke Lopez, the team picked up his $9.2 million deal. Lopez twins still going.
He's got to be close to 40. There was a quote from his twin brother, Robin, who got traded to the Bulls back, I don't know when it was, 2016 or 17, something like that. And he said, I showed up to camp and goes, oh my gosh, am I the best player here? That Bulls team was trash.
Fred VanVleet had a $25 million player option.
Oh, yeah. He signed a big deal with Houston a couple years ago.
He missed last season. He tore his ACL in September.
That was one of the bigger Bruce Weber misses. Van Vliet was.
Wichita State, right?
Yep. He's from Aurora. Weber didn't really go after him. He got Mike LaTulip that year, which I like LaTulip. He works for Field of 68 now. And LaTulip didn't play any meaningful minutes with Illinois, transferred to Wright State and had one solid year. But good dude. But they could have had Fred Van Vliet, who's, you know, won an NBA title but had great success at Wichita.
I always thought, of course, I don't follow Illinois and Illinois recruiting like you do.
It's from Rockford, not Aurora.
From the outside looking, I always thought John Shire was a big miss for Bruce Weber.
Yeah. There's photos of him in Illinois gear at the national title game back in 05. Bruce Weber's brother was his high school head coach.
That I knew that part. That's, yeah.
Yeah. Going to an NCAA title. It's hard to turn down Duke.
You know, I was supposed to say, when Duke's in the mix, it's tough to beat them.
I get it. Yep. But that was a miss. Psycho T, Tyler Hansborough, he was in Missouri. They've gone into Missouri and gotten guys before. And
at least Missouri didn't get him.
At least Missouri didn't get him. And again, it's one of those things. It's hard to turn down North Carolina. Back then it was, anyway. I think it's easier to turn them down now, but.
Man, I hadn't thought of Psycho T's little brother, Ben Hansborough, forever.
Oh, now, man.
He was a baller at Notre Dame.
He was good. Yeah. Good shooter. Much different players.
Where was he at before Notre Dame?
Mississippi State. Okay. I'm pretty sure.
But yeah, Missouri or at Notre Dame, he was a bucket.
He was a much shorter, much different player.
Way different. Way different.
Yeah.
But you want to get educated?
I do. I do.
Let's learn about some sporting events that have happened on June 29th. On this day in 1897, the Chicago Colts established the MLB record for most runs scored in a game by one team as they beat the Louisville Colonels 36-7 at the West Side Grounds in Chicago.
How many yards they rushed for, does it say? Say it again. I must have missed something in there.
On this date, 1897, the Chicago Colts established MLB's record for most runs scored in a game by one team.
I heard NFL's
36-7.
I heard, for some reason, my brain went to NFL's most rushing yards. Well,
Chicago Colts. And you just,
yeah. That's probably where it got me. Oh, man.
It's a Monday. That's
it is.
Not very. A lot of U.S. Open women's golf. On this day, 1961, the MLB San Francisco Giants outfielder Willie Mays became the fourth player in MLB history with three or more home runs twice in one season, with a 10th inning blast on the Giants' 8-7 win over the Phillies in Philadelphia.
Man.
On this day, 1969, on Billy Williams Day at Wrigley Field, the Chicago Cubs outfielder Billy Williams passed Stan Musial's NL record for consecutive games played with his 896th straight game as the Cubs sweep the Cardinals 3-1 and 12-1.
Sweet swinging Billy Williams.
On his day, 1977, future Hall of Fame outfielder Willie Stargell hit his 400th career home run as the Pirates beat the Cardinals 9-1.
I was talking to Tan Jamin Show correspondent Sean Shriver yesterday, and he asked me and your dad who our favorite Cubs players of all time were. And I said, you know, Sosa and Rizzo. Your dad said Ryan Sandberg, also like Fergie Jenkins. And so I asked Sean whose favorite Pirate was of all time. He said Clemente, but Willie Stargell was way up there as well.
Yeah, I would think most Pirate fans would put – longtime Pirate fans would put those two up there.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite Pirate of all time?
Favorite, Garrett Cole, for sure, giving up that blast to Kyle Schwarber in the Allegheny in the wild card game. Yeah.
I always like Brian Giles.
Brian Giles is one of the more underrated players. If he played in today's game, they would consider him one of the best players. Where back then, he was just a good player.
I liked him, and I like Jason Kendall, too, when he was on.
Yeah, I like Jason Kendall. They had Jack Wilson, who could really pick it at shortstop.
Of course, Andrew McCutchen forever.
Sure. But, yeah.
On this day, 1984, Montreal Expos infielder Pete Rose played in his record 3,309th MLB game.
I couldn't tell you he played for the Expos, honestly.
I knew that just because of one of these one episode that we had. On this day, 1984, pitcher Earl Hershiser began a string of making every scheduled start until 1990 for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Dang.
On this day, 1986, Boston Red Sox trade for Tom Seaver.
Old man Tom Seaver.
Also on this day, 1986, Sparky Anderson became the first manager to win on 600 games in each league. On this day in 1990, there was two no-hitters thrown. The A's Dave Stewart no-hit the Blue Jays, and the Dodgers' Fernando Valenzuela no-hit the Cardinals. First time no-hitters in both leagues.
On the same day.
Yep. On this day, 1994, who was the first pick in the NBA draft?
94 NBA draft. Give me the college.
See if Purdue.
Oh, big dog.
Yeah, big dog Glenn Robinson, first pick by the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
At the time, it was a record NBA contract, rookie NBA contract. But any other NBA draft on this day? Nope. That's going to do it.
All right.
That's going to do it for the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with attention. Their focus is on system, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today, 260-248-2749. You see how they can help you and your business with your digital marketing.
Blind ranking time. It is 4th of July, and I've done something similar to this before. I think I did like traditional like Memorial Day foods or 4th of July foods, but this is traditional like things you do on the 4th of July, and I want you to rank them 1 through 5.
All right.
Starting with watching the hot dog eating contest.
I do usually watch it every year. Yeah. I don't get real pumped for it, but I do watch it every year. It's pretty disgusting.
Pretty gross. Pretty gross.
I'm getting a good old cop out and putting number 3.
I remember always, I mean, I went to your grandparents' house for 4th of July, what, like, I would say 10 or 12 years, pretty close to that. And I remember always sitting down and watching the hot dogging contest with your grandpa and you in his living room there.
I still, one of these days, I'm going to sit down, time myself, see how many I could eat.
I'm scared I'd choke, honestly. that's my fear.
I think I'd puke.
Probably. I just can't dip hot dog buns into water and get soggy. That's just, it's disgusting.
I don't even like a soggy just bun.
No, I don't either. I'm with like, you. Yeah.
You know,
the hot dog juice gets in it. And
new go-tos lately when I go to Culver's, I've been getting their pot roast sandwich.
You're such an old man.
I know. It's really good.
It sounds good.
But I have to usually eat it with a fork because the bottom of the bun's so soggy. Yeah. But yeah, something sandwich. Real different. I heard from one of Steph's family members. They liked the pot roast sandwich. I gave it a try. Now I've got the last few times I went there.
Wow.
So, yeah. I am old, man.
You're a 90-year-old.
I'm 34 man. Going on 70.
Number 2 here, swimming in a pool.
More times than I do that on the 4th of July. Yeah. Put that number 2.
All right. Watching fireworks.
Can't say I do it every year.
No,
I'm not the biggest firework guy.
I couldn't care.
I definitely don't enjoy lighting them or anything. Put it at 4.
Yeah, I haven't been to, I went, I don't know if I went to fireworks last year or not. I just, you see one firework, you've seen them all. That's my view.
Yeah.
Going to a parade.
So I got 1 and 5. 5, I don't go to parades unless I have to.
Yeah, I've been to a parade with you once. You were working it way back.
Oh, I remember.
Way back in the day. It was a very warm day. They're usually very, very hot.
I had to tell my dad to watch his language.
I do remember that. Me and him were chopping it up, I think, right by the camera.
I mean, I was live. I think it was live, I think.
last one here, spending time on the lake.
It's my number one slot. Either. It's my number one slot, and I don't live on a lake. I don't even live close to a lake. Yeah, I need to re-rank that. So re-rank spending time in pool number 1. Mm. I guess watching hot dog number 2. Let's see. I'm sticking parade at 5. We'll go fireworks 3, lake 4, just because I don't live on a lake. Yeah. If I went on the lake more often, it would replace fireworks.
Yeah, if I were to rank that, probably pool 1. I spent a lot of time on the lake growing up because we lived near a lake and we had a boat. So for like
that helps.
10, 15 years, we were on that lake all day on the 4th. Not a big firework guy fan either, or firework fan guy either.
Has your daughter been to a parade yet of any sort?
Yeah, we went to a parade last year. My wife walked in one for work.
Oh, okay.
And I'm glad. They're not doing a float this year, so I don't have to go. Yeah.
Last parade I went to, it was just 2 weeks ago. My wife walked in it for work. That was the only reason I went. And I forgot I'm just not that big a parade guy.
No, I don't care. I mean, they hand out candy, but I'd rather sit there, honestly.
And it was hot that day.
Yeah, I'd rather sit in air condition.
Yep.
Any day of the week.
Me too.
We filled out an hour somehow.
Yeah, and that was a good blind rankings segment, which is brought to you by Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2026 or 2027, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
All right, give me that birdie bogey.
Yes, since the MLB established the amateur draft in, I believe it was 1965, there's been 4 number 1 overall picks to go on and make Cooperstown. Name those 4.
The first guy that popped in my head, and I hope he's in the Hall of Fame. I think he is, but is it pretty swinging baseball, Joe Mauer?
Yes, sir. Number 1 pick in 2001.
Okay. I knew he was number 1 pick, and I thought he got in the Hall of Fame. Griffey.
Griffey Jr. Yes, I don't have what year, but yes, Griffey
Jr. Had to be late 80s, I imagine. Chipper Jones, he's number
one. You got a par at least. Okay. 1990, number one overall.
I don't even have a fourth. A-Rod was number one overall. I think he was number one overall pick. Maybe he wasn't, but he didn't make the Hall of Fame. Bonds didn't make the Hall either. I think he was number one overall or close to it. I don't even have a guess.
I'll give you the year he was drafted and year he retired. Drafted 1977, retired in 01.
That doesn't help me at all. I don't know. Just give
Harold Baines.
I would have never gotten that. That's a tough one, Sean. You told me yesterday it was tough.
You got a par. That's good, Jay, man. Not losing strokes.
He expected 3 out of 4 from me, and I did it. So
came through in the clutch.
Yeah. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. Hope everyone keeps all their digits on Saturday during the 4th of July. Have a fantastic week, everybody.